And he has a very powerful mantra. And he has used his curiosity, also his interest in meeting the Lord of the whole universe, and also his mantra given to him by his guru, who he met almost by chance. He was there by the side of Govardhan, taking care of his cows, minding his own business, playing with the other boys, and this sadhu entered into his life. He didn't go looking for him. Please note that. So, by his curiosity and the power of his mantra, Gopakumar traveled to many worlds, one after another, higher and higher, until he reached the highest planet in the universe, Satyaloka. And yet, all the time, while traveling, part of him was missing Vrindavan. Factually, he was moving forward towards his goal, but he was taking the long route of following his own desires. And now he has gone even beyond the realm of matter. And here he meets Lord Shiva. But due to his naivete, his simplicity, you could say, he doesn't even know who he is. So let us hear more of his story. Gopakumar said to the Brahmana, who he is speaking to in Vrindavan, telling his life story, he tells the Brahmana, he says, "I thought, who is this? He looks more powerful than anyone in the world. I decided to approach Nandeshwar and ask him about this person." And he said, "Oh, cowherd boy, you do not recognize Lord Shiva, the Lord of the universe?" And then just as I was talking and finding out more, I heard an extremely sweet melody. And I saw a group of four armed souls, persons coming towards me. And without knowing who they were, I was convinced already that they were great souls. I turned to Ganesh, and he told me, he said, "These are the associates of the Lord of Vaikuntha. They have come here from Vaikuntha itself." And then Ganesh showed me many, many Vaikuntha Vasis coming from here, there, everywhere. They were coming and they were going in different directions. Now, we have to remember that Gopakumar is now free of the borders and boundaries that condition us within matter. So his power to see is unlimited. So he could see these Vaikuntha Vasis traveling with ease to the millions and billions of universes, and they all had suitable bodies for the universe where they were going. Sri Ganesh said, "These people, they cherish only devotional service to the Lord. Acting on their own initiative, they travel to spread devotion and to distribute fearlessness to the Lord's devotees. They endeavor to help the Vaishnavas to overcome any impediments to their progress. And they protect anyone who has even one time chanted or heard the shadow of his name uttered neglectfully, in jest or contempt or in pain. Gop Kumar said, "I could easily see into all the material universes from where I stood in the abode of liberation. And in each universe, I saw these Vaikuntha messengers." And Ganesh told him, "What can I say about Vaikuntha Loka? It is blessed by the ever-visible pastimes of the Lord." Gop Kumar heard this and he says, "I became eager to reach that place." And then the associates of Lord Vishnu spoke and they said, "We have come here only for you. If you want to reach Vaikuntha, then you must practice the ninefold forms of devotional service, and they will swiftly reward you entrance into this abode. In Vaikuntha, the devotion is motivated only by pure love. And the Vaishnavas live here in spiritual bodies, enjoying the sweetness of prema bhakti with full freedom. If you want to see this divine world, then loud chanting of the holy names is the most effective way. Seeing the Lord in person is the reward to be attained. Seeing the Lord in person is the reward to be attained." Then the Vaikuntha servants advise Gop Kumar to return to Braj on earth and practice Nava Bhakti. And within a short time, those associates came to Vrindavan and they wanted to take him to Vaikuntha. As they carried him away on a remarkable aeroplane, he saw that everything was different. "As I traveled upwards," he said to the Brahmin, "my eyes fell upon all those cosmic regions and the coverings of the universe that I had visited before. The residents of those different places were now honoring me by showering flowers and all sorts of auspicious offerings upwards towards me. Now, I easily passed by those same worlds which I had previously reached with great labor, one after another. And as I went through the 8 coverings of the universe, I understood that liberation of itself is of little value And I was ashamed to see the material attractions that I had once found so interesting. When we arrived at Vaikuntha, the Vaikunthavasi said, "Wait here. We will enter and we will take permission before bringing you inside." And they proceeded in, and I waited by the entrance gate. And then I beheld somebody coming. He resembled the Supreme Lord. I cried out, "Oh Lord, protect me!" And I bowed down, and he covered his ears, and he gestured for me to stop. "I am a servant," he told me. "I am a servant of the servant of the servants." And then he quickly entered the gate. Later, another person came, even more splendid, and I honored him as before. And he too affectionately stopped me and entered into the city. Many, many, many other people came. The Vaikunthavasis are purely transcendental persons. Their substance, the substance of their bodies, is unalloyed Sat-Chit-Ananda. And so they never belong to any material species. Yet for the Lord's pleasure, they assume or relinquish any form they wish at any time. And absent from everyone, absent from all of them, are qualities such as envy. They passed through many gates, and then I saw a beautiful palace in the distance. And as I came closer and closer, I saw before me the Lord of Vaikuntha. He was sitting on the best of golden thrones that was shimmering with the glow of many jewels. Every part of his body was beautifully formed. He wore gold bejewelled jewelry and a Vaijayanti garland and silk yellow cloth and sandalwood paste. And when I saw him, I completely forgot how to act. I cried out, "Oh, Gopal! My life and soul!" And I ran forward immediately to embrace him. And some attendants held me back. I was heartbroken. And I cried out. And then I fell to the ground unconscious. Then I heard the Lord speak in a deep, gentle voice. He said, "Dear boy, come quickly here. I am most fortunate to meet you. For so long, I have been eager to see you. You passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me. Hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking, perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or this, or that, he will finally turn his face towards me. You showed me no mercy. So I grew impatient to receive your favor, and I arranged for you to take your birth in Govardhan, my most beloved abode. And I became your guru. Maddened by drinking the beverage of the Lord's intoxicating words, I was unable to offer any praise or understand anything. I was just overcome with joy. And he showed me great mercy by offering me service at his feet. Yet some of the Vaikuntha devotees disliked hearing me address Lord Narayan as "O Krishna" or "Hey Gopal." In fact, they disapproved of my addressing him by name at all. They felt uncomfortable hearing songs of his childhood pastimes in Gokul. And at first, these words from the Vaikunthavasis made me feel very embarrassed. And then I would remember that I was in Vaikuntha, where awe and reverence predominate. And the cause of my suffering was the desire to reach a special place even beyond Vaikuntha. And then one day, Narada Muni came and he found me, and I completely disclosed my heart to him. After hearing my story, he spoke to me in a soft voice. He said, "You have come to Vaikuntha. How can you see these pastimes here? In that higher world, intimate friendship with the Lord prevails. Only that special place is conducive to the rare mood of deepest friendship. Sri Krishna is the greatest of all forms of the Lord. And only that Lord of Goloka is endowed with a special excellence beyond the power to describe. He is different from Lord Narayan." Hearing Narada greatly increased my eagerness to see the lotus feet of Sri Gopal, my worshipable Lord. Then Narada advised me. He said, "Dwarka resembles the blessed and charming Mathura. Go to Dwarka and worship your beloved Lord there. But first, visit Ayodhya. You will achieve your Gopal Dev by the special mercy of the Lord in the form of Raghunath, just as you achieve the mercy of Lord Vishnu by the mercy of Lord Shiva. I was so eager to achieve my goal that I could not tolerate even a moment's delay. And so I set off for Ayodhya. And from there, I went to Dwarka. And there, I saw the Yadavas. They welcomed me and brought me inside their city. From a distance, I saw their lord seated on an excellent throne in the Sudama assembly hall. And above him shone a brilliant white umbrella. And at his two sides waved excellent yak-tail fans. And in front of him on a golden footstool sat his divine slippers. I fainted. Then the Lord of my life gently stroked me and took the flute from my hand. He then got up to enter his inner quarters, and holding me by the hand, he took me with him. I was delighted to have this opportunity to be with Krishna here in Dwarka. And if there was any unhappiness, I concealed it. But then one day, Narada came. He smiled and began to praise the pastimes of Vrindavan. And then he gave me further important instructions. He said, ordinary humility can be developed by human effort, but there is a type of humility which comes from receiving the Lord's favor. To achieve this transcendental humility, one must learn to love Krishna in the mood felt by the gopis, led by Sri Radha. This special humility arises by Krishna's exceptional mercy. Narada then spoke to me at length. He told me about the extraordinary pastimes of Vrindavan. He told me about the people of Braj and the mood of the people in Braj. And then, looking at me, he said, until you attain that world, you will never be at peace. Go, fulfill the desire that you have held for so long. Then, sensing that someone had taken me elsewhere, I opened my eyes and I saw that I had been brought once more to Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan, and I was in this same grove where I am sitting, he's telling the Brahman. I was brought in an instant here where you were sitting. I was brought here. And then, following Narada's instructions, I went to see many places of Krishna's pastimes. I sang his names. I sang about his pastimes loudly and sweetly. I focused my mind on them. And one day, I fell unconscious. And I saw myself being transported by a vehicle faster than the mind to Goloka, which I had so long aspired to reach. There, I saw hundreds of thousands of millions of wonders, unseen, unheard of, and unimaginable by anyone of this world. I reached the town of Nanda Maharaj just as Krishna was to return home from the forest. And I heard the faint sound of the flute and the mooing of the cows, which drove everybody mad. They all rushed to the bank of the Jamuna, singing his names, and I ran with them. And then, from the distance, flute in hand, Krishna emerged from amongst his friends and the cows, calling, "Look, look, Sridham, look, here is my dear friend, Swarup." He leapt forward towards me, and I came close, and compelled by the affection of his helpless devotee, he fainted, and I fainted, and seeing that, he caught hold of me, and suddenly we both fell to the ground. I came to my senses, and I stood up, and I saw him on the ground, unconscious, crying. Everyone was overcome with grief until Baladev came forward, and he looked carefully. He looked at me. He looked at his brother crying, lying on the ground, and he understood the situation. And he had me embrace Krishna, who opened his tear-filled eyes and recognized me as Swarup, the younger brother of his dear friend Sridhar. Now, finally, united, hand in hand, he brought me to Nanda Bhavan and proceeded the day activities. Nanda Baba sat down on his golden seat and began his meal, and Krishna and Balaram sat on each side, and I sat opposite. And from inside the house, Rohini Devi sent the food in jewel-bedecked vessels made of gold and silver. Yasoda, with great affection, served, and Krishna began to eat. And while he ate, he also fed me. After dinner, Sridham took me home with him to rest. But that night, I could not sleep. I could not wait to see Krishna again. The following morning, I went with Sridham to join Krishna and the gopas as they took the cows to the forest. And there in the forest, we played all sorts of games. In the places around Govardhan Hill, we enjoyed tending the cows and making them drink the Jamuna's water. And when evening approached, we all returned to the cowherd village. as Gopakumar, now Swarup, continued his story. He explained how the happiness of Goloka far exceeds the happiness of any other realm. The fullness of Krishna's sweet cowherd pastimes utterly attracted and enchanted the Vrajavasis' senses, so that after time they forgot everything. They forgot the past, they forgot the future. And again, he performed wonderful pastimes there in Gokul. And thus, he enchanted the hearts of all those devotees. Now, if we remember, Swarup is telling his life story, how he attained his perfection to this Brahmana. And the Brahmana is hearing, just as we are also all hearing. So Swarup said, "O Brahmana, I have told you about Goloka's unique, most extreme greatness and sweetness, that Krishna showed such mercy to me, a wretched person. I have recounted my story to you. How much can I say about that supreme reality? Oh, the world of Golok, its multitude of residents perceive always its greatness. To all those who live in the Lord's abode, I offer my obeisances." Then Swarup told the Brahmana. He said, "Early this morning, Sri Radhika Devi herself came to me in Golok and ordered me. She said, 'Swarup, a Brahmana from Mathura, who is my devotee, is coming to my grove. Go there alone, first thing today. Enlighten him with good instructions, console him, and quickly allow him to attain Krishna's grace.'" So the Brahmana is hearing all of this with astonishment. Gokumar says, "So I have come, my dear Brahmana. Think carefully and decide for yourself. What is the highest goal of life? And what is the best way to achieve it?" When Swarup saw that even after hearing so much, the Brahman had not awakened the treasure of pure love, he put his hand on the Brahmana's head, and by the mercy of that great soul, everything became manifest at once in the Brahmana's heart. And seeing his disciple transformed, plunged Swarup into very deep ecstasy. Then, all of a sudden, from a distance, came rich, sweet sounds of flutes and horns mixed with the mooing of cows. That Lord of unlimited pastimes was coming nearby to water his cows and play with his friends in the Jamuna. He was like an ocean filled with waves of beauty. and garlands of Kadamba flowers adorned his ears, and a peacock feather in his hair. A string of beautiful pearls decorated his conch-like neck, and his yellow silken garments shone brilliantly. The fingers of his lotus hands happily played his charming flute as he held it to his beautiful lips. In this situation, both Guru and disciple forgot themselves as they threw themselves helplessly at his feet. Compelled by love for his dear devotees, he ran forwards towards them and lifted them up from the ground with both hands and steadied them. And smiling at the Brahmana, he said, "Dear Jana Sharma," that was the Brahman's spiritual identity, "Dear Jana Sharma, by good fortune, you have remembered me. And by good fortune, I have seen you again after so long. I am totally under your control. Please feel free to enjoy here as you like." Swept away by ecstasy, the Brahman was unable to reply to Krishna or even look at him directly. All he could do was place his head on Krishna's lotus feet and cry. Then Krishna gave that Brahmana a cowherd form similar to Swarup's. And then he turned his attention to watering his cows and the other animals. And both Swarup and Ganesharma joined in his playing in the water and the other games. They had a forest picnic with Krishna in the center of unlimited boys. And each boy saw Krishna as if he was sitting right in front of him. And that evening, the giver of joy to all of Braj left the new gopa in the hands of Swarup as they entered the village together. So now we spoke earlier about how this story, this wonderful account, was being spoken by Jaimini Rishi. And he was speaking to King Janamejaya. And he was speaking because the king had asked about what his father had spoken to his grandmother. So the great king, who was telling this narration to his mother, this is Maharaj Parikit, he was telling